Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Debra and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. I'm Dr. Debra.
Hi, it's Therapist Kelly. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Ooh, new microphone. I feel all fancy.
Don't you remember this from last
week? Yeah, but mine wasn't new. They didn't upgrade me.
Ooh.
I know. Fancy.
Yours is prettier than mine.
I've heard that before. No. So, what's new? What's shaking?
Oh, I don't know. Today, I'm like out of sorts.
Yeah.
I'm good, but you know how like sometimes like there's too much energetic going on in my sphere.
Uh-huh.
My sphere is overloaded, so I'm going to dump my sphere on you.
Oh, I can take it. I get it.
Yeah. It's like a whirlwind of things going on, but you know, good.
Okay, good.
Yeah. How about you?
Everything's good here. Yeah. I had a hike this morning, and I did yoga yesterday, so now I'm like kind of centering myself. So I feel you, and then I'm trying to, you know, take contrary action and sort of center myself.
Good for you.
I know.
I took two hikes, one yesterday and the one the day before, so I did over 10 miles each day. My legs are sore.
Kidding? Where do you hike?
And Pilates. You know, near my house.
Yeah.
In the Wildwood area in the back.
Oh,
those are
God.
All...
Oh, God.
Yeah. It's
oh,
beautiful
wow.
up there. So it was so pretty.
That's amazing.
Did a really big climb up.
Oh, my God.
So my tush is a little sore.
Well, now too. I feel bad because my hike was like 3 miles, maybe, if. Wow.
Well. You have two young kids. That's a hike in and of
itself. Yeah, that is true. It's like my cardio every day.
The older one is not so young anymore.
He's eight.
Eight.
He's like tall, too. Like, he asked me to pick him up. I'm like carrying a man. You know what I mean? Like, literally, like, he's like carrying me to bed. I'm like, you know, because he's all long and lanky. And yeah, he's like
I
a man.
I remember when Tiffany was that age, and they still do want all that snuggle, cuddle, holding
yes.
time, but
yeah.
you don't realize how big they are. Yeah. Like, there's pictures of me with this, like, you know, she's raped all over me.
Yes.
I wonder I have back issues, daughter.
Well, no. you know, Moose like wants to be held like a baby, and
yes,
he's like
yes.
his little spindly legs like hanging out. Like so, yeah. I mean, I'll take
so
it.
Cute.
I'll take the snuggles.
Wait,
he's 12.
But is he going to be 13 soon?
He'll be 13 in July.
In July, okay. So
remember we sang him the birthday?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, psychotic. I know.
Oh my goodness. So yeah, anything shaking?
I'm trying to think what else is going on. A few more weeks till Paris.
Oh, that's right.
I cannot.
Are you just like
dying?
Dying.
Like, this is how I get through life right now, is just thinking about Paris.
And
like,
you have a place that you're going to stay? Are you staying like in a 5-star?
No, nothing too. I wanted more like boutique-y, like, like the W type, you know?
Okay.
Like, I'm not into like the ritzy, you know, Victorian. Like, I just want like, you know, fun. And so, yeah, so we'll do that. And we got a boat ride set up, and I made a little itinerary. And oh my God, I've been using my app to speak French, like to learn it again.
Really?
Because I forgot it.
Did
all
you speak fluent?
I was conversationally fluent.
Oh.
I would say at one point, and then I lost it completely. And
you
here
practice with Tiffany.
She speaks French.
If she can remember any of it, she did. She took 4 years in the AP and all that.
Oh, I should have done our sessions in French.
Yes. How are they going?
She's amazing. So I will say a huge shout out to Tiffany Luptick. She is an amazing Ayurvedic medicine doctor. And I've had 3 sessions with her, and she's incredible. Oh, actually, I should say this on air. If this is TMI, I'm sorry. But my constitution is always like constipated.
Right,
like I have like bunny poops.
Yes.
And she was telling me to eat more fat. And like she told me about ghee, which is like this clarified butter. I don't love the taste.
I love
but
it.
My poop was great today.
Well,
yes,
look at that.
I know.
Star Tiffany.
Yes.
That's my daughter.
When I flushed, I thought of her. So she's great. She's really great.
Isn't she like a little fairy?
She's... I feel like she's very angelic. Like there's something, like she's got like something going on.
Yep.
You know what I
she's
mean?
She's got
yeah.
some guardians around
yes,
her.
Yes, for
really,
sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Adore her. She's so adorable.
She's
anyway,
great.
I'm glad you got some benefit.
Yeah.
That makes me
it was
feel
awesome.
Good. Yeah. All right. So last week we had Amy Alcon. She did a book called Unfuckology, A Field Guide to Living with Guts and Confidence.
It was great.
We've had fuck in our titles
twice
last month.
I think we should get a third. Yes.
Gotta find another author. Who
yeah, just for kicks.
Just fuck.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Fuck you. That's a good one.
But she was great. And it was a really, you know, I wasn't sure like where the book was going because we had gotten it late, so I didn't read the whole thing, but it's really great. It's really about just kind of, you know, she said that she grew up a little shy and sheltered and just kind of how to basically live when you're, you know, shy and sheltered like that and kind of taking contrary action and all of that.
Yeah, I really liked her comparison too of fake it till you make it versus impersonating. Mm-hmm. She doesn't really applaud fake it till you make it.
Right.
It's much more about, you know, find a character out there of someone who's behaving as you would like and impersonate them.
Yes, exactly. You know what? I think of you when I want to do like business stuff, I think about how you would do it. And like, I have to, like, because you're so amazing with that kind of stuff. So,
aww, thanks, darling.
Yes.
That's
so I'm going to impersonate you with business. Yes. Among other things. But yeah.
I'm not as good at it as I used to be. I think I'm slacking in my old age.
No, I don't think so. So, all right. All right. Well, let's, no further ado.
No.
I'm so excited. So you want me to do the intro?
Sure.
All right. So this week in studio, we have Cassandra Badzak, and she is the best-selling author of Eat with Intention, Recipes and Meditations for a Life that Lights You Up. She's the founder of the online mind, body, soul support community, Appreciati.com. Cassandra teaches women who want to have it all to create rituals using food, meditation, and self-care to create sustainable success and well-being. She has been dubbed a spiritual leader by Well and Good and is the mindful cooking show host of Eat with Intention TV, or you may know her as the happy, healthy living guru from ABC's The Taste. Cassandra speaks all over the country, works with a select group of clients one-on-one, and enjoys spending her free time on the beach in Santa Monica enjoying life.
Welcome.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Awesome. How did you get dubbed a spiritual guru or spiritual leader?
I have no idea. that was, you know, luckily I think the ladies at Well and Good, which I'm a huge fan of, also share the love back. So they followed a bunch of my work, and I ended up in a couple articles where they called me that. And I was like, that's amazing.
That's amazing.
I'm going to keep that soundbite.
I like it.
Yeah.
Right? I like that.
So cool. So I have a question. So were you always, okay, so I'm the worst cook on the planet. Deborah knows this. No. Like, it's not even funny. Like,
she's,
if you,
not that bad. She just hates it. So when you tell people that you're the worst cook on the planet, you get away with, nobody wants to eat the shit
that
you're going to make.
That's
right?
Probably
that.
True. But I am really bad. I can make a mean bowl of cereal. And like that, and that's it. I'm not kidding. So I want to know, like, were you always like really good in the kitchen, or did this take time?
Yeah, no, definitely not. I taught myself how to cook in college. And so you can imagine what that looked like in a dorm room kitchen.
Uh-huh.
And my first creations were very basic. It was just trying to roast broccoli appropriately.
Mm-hmm.
I literally went through a period when I first started learning how to cook. And I taught myself how to cook only because I got diagnosed with a bunch of food allergies.
Mm.
So I literally couldn't eat anything.
Yeah.
Because prior to that, I would eat trash, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
I would go back and forth between, like, I mean, typical, like, high school, college kid, mm-hmm. where, you know, go to, like, Wendy's at lunch and eat dining hall food, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And then once I got diagnosed with all my food allergies and I got super, super sick, I was in a lot of pain, and I was like, oh, my God, I have no idea how to eat, mm-hmm. without eating any of these things.
Sure.
So it was kind of like, I felt like I was on some sort of, like, messed up game show,
mm-hmm.
where I now had to like get creative, mm-hmm. and learn how to eat these, mm-hmm. things. But I was actually in enough pain. It was like a blessing,
yeah.
to be in that much pain, mm-hmm. where I was like, fine, let's do it. This is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're just like totally surrendered to it. And I would go to the Big Y in Connecticut, and I would literally buy vegetables. I'd buy a bunch of vegetables,
mm-hmm.
A lot of the same kind of vegetables.
Okay.
And each week I would try to figure out how to cook,
wow.
one vegetable.
Oh, well, that's smart.
So I would eat the same vegetable all week, but I would do different iterations of it. I'd be, mm-hmm. like, okay, how can I steam this?
Yeah.
I don't, like, it tastes awful if I steam it. I'm not, mm-hmm. going to do that. Let me roast it. What if I sauteed in a pan with this? And I really just tried. It was very, very much trial and error.
Mm-hmm.
And when it came to baking, luckily, I have like a sixth sense when it comes to baking.
Mm-hmm.
I've always, like, something happens to me in the kitchen when I'm doing baked goods.
Mm-hmm.
So doing, like, brownies and cupcakes and, mm-hmm. all of those, like, vegan and gluten-free and alternative, mm-hmm. ways and stuff like that, I surprised myself. And then cooking came a little a little with a little bit more elbow grace.
Mm-hmm.
But it came because I was committed to it.
That's great. Deborah can cook. Yeah. You're very good. Yes.
No,
yes, you are. Maybe because I'm so bad. I don't know. No, but you really are because you made some chili that David still talks about to this day.
It is a pretty great
chili.
I sometimes wonder if I should put that in the like a chili cook-off.
I'm not kidding.
Well,
it's really good.
And she made like, so we went camping and she like was like Chef Boyardee. Like, I mean, she was great. So she's humble.
Well, you know, I learned to cook by observation. My mother was a gourmet cook. That's what she learned when she came to this country. She learned to just experiment with all kinds of recipes. My friends loved it because in the middle of the night, my mother would be insomniac, and she would make Cherry's Jubilee for us.
Oh, my God.
There was alcohol in it that my friend's parents did not know.
Of course, they loved it.
Grand Suzette's. But she wouldn't let me do the cooking. So I would just sit there and watch and watch and watch. Boy, when I got my hands on a fry pan, I was like, go to town.
Ready to go.
I wanted to do, you know, impersonating, right?
Uh-huh. Well, see, my mom never cooked. We would have like the most, we would have like, I swear to God, she'd make like spaghetti and like mandarin oranges, like would be on the side. It was like a mishmash of like weirdness. So yeah, makes sense.
So Cassandra, what was the hardest thing for you to have to give up of all the foods that you loved the most when you love junk?
Cheese.
Cheese, yeah.
I think cheese was really hard. Because I used to love pizza, mac and cheese. Mm-hmm. I just love cheese. I mean, who doesn't love cheese, right?
So you're lactose intolerant.
Yeah, so dairy doesn't work for me. But yeah, I think that was probably the hardest.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was the hardest. Because surprisingly, I gave up meat at that time as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that that would be harder than it was.
Mm-hmm.
Once I gave it up, and I think the difference, I mean, to a certain degree, it was almost like the least severe the reaction, the harder something was to give up.
Mm.
Because the more severe, like my reaction to meat is the most severe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's kind of like when you know, put your hand on like a burning stove, you're like, oh, yeah, I'm not tempted to do that again.
Yeah.
Like, that's just really bad. I'm not going to do that again.
Uh-huh.
But if you put in your hand on, like, a curling iron that's just, like, a little too hot, like, you forget about it a little bit, and then you can go back to that. So I think, you know, with dairy, what had happened was I would get congested, and I would sometimes break out in hives on my chest and stuff like that. So it wasn't as severe as, like, I remember I tried to eat chicken again after giving it up for like 6 months. I was like, let me just try to reintroduce it and see what happens. I literally thought I was going to have to go to the emergency room.
Really?
I thought I had done myself in. And I was like, oh my God, people are going to think you're such an idiot. Why'd you do this? You should have known better.
Stomach
pain. Like doubled over in pain. Could not move. It was so bad. So I like don't, you know, sometimes I like, you know, I'll go out with people and people be like, oh, I feel so bad for you. And I'm like, don't feel bad for me.
Right. You're like, it's
like,
better.
Would you feel bad for someone that went into anaphylactic shock when they have peanut butter if they couldn't have peanut butter?
No. Yeah.
Not really, because they just, they're just not doing the thing that they shouldn't do.
Right. Makes sense. Yeah.
And there are plenty of other foods that you can eat.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. But so you didn't become vegan philosophically. You became vegan more because of allergies.
Yep.
Wow.
And you are vegan philosophically.
Oh, I'm vegetarian. My 8-year-old son is a vegan for animal reasons.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
Yeah, is that amazing? That's why I love
that.
Your book.
I mean, it's lasted this long.
Can you believe that?
My daughter, when she was younger, lasted like 2 weeks.
When did he decide?
7. It's been like over a year. Isn't that amazing? I mean, he is strict.
This new generation of kids are just magical.
Yeah. Magical. It's pretty crazy. Mm-hmm. Wow.
It's awesome. Yeah.
By the way, there's amazing cheese, Follow Your Heart. I don't know if you've had it. That's the best one I've had. Because I've had other ones too, and they were okay. But even like David, my husband is like really picky, and he's like, Kelly, I think this is real cheese. I'm like, no, David, it's not. Like, he's like, I swear to God, in 2 years.
I feel like there's a conspiracy.
Yes, that's what he said. He's like, in 2 years, it's going to come out that this is really cheese. It's that good.
Well, have you ever been to Plant Food and Wine?
No.
In Venice? Okay, so you have to go.
Okay.
And you take your son and get the cashew raclette. It's literally, they make, it's like a cast iron skillet dish where they use cashew cheese and then like grilled bread, and it's literally just, I swear to God, it reminds me of just like being able to put cheese on bread.
Like that's normal.
Delicious.
Well, So I just want to say out loud, this book is absolutely gorgeous. Deborah and I were going crazy. Yeah, I mean, the pictures.
I'm salivating.
Yes, it really is.
Every single thing that's in
thank
here.
You.
How
thank
did you get inspired to do all these recipes? You just came up with them yourself, or did you learn from other cooks? I know you practiced in college and got good at cooking, but what inspired these particular recipes?
A lot of these recipes came from, for this book, I wanted to kind of create something that was almost like a basics guide.
Mm.
And a lot of the first things that I kind of converted, so to speak, were the basics that I missed, right? Oh. So you'll notice in the book there are things like breakfast tacos, which were like one of my favorite things, creamy tomato soup, another thing that I like really missed, the chocolate cupcakes, stuff like that. I really wanted this book to feel accessible.
Yeah.
That was a big goal for me, that people, I didn't want it to be, you'll notice in the book, it doesn't say vegan anywhere in it.
Right.
It's not a book necessarily, like vegans love it.
Yeah.
It's all vegan.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not trying to convert anyone to veganism.
Uh-huh.
I really just want people to explore being able to eat more plant-based and knowing that you can eat meals that are fully, you know, plant and get all those nutrients in and they can still be delicious.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fun and it's creative and I find it, not as challenging as I think people think it has to be.
Yeah.
So for a lot of the recipes, I tried to think of, you know, things that could, people could look at these lists and they wouldn't be like, oh my God, I'm never going to be able to make this, right? And all of the recipes in the book, I really just sat down when I was writing out the recipe list and was thinking, okay, like, what are the essentials? You know, I wanted to create a book where if this was the only cookbook, not that anyone just used one cookbook, but if someone only had one cookbook, they can make enough, you know, different breakfasts depending on their style. Like the way I think, I guess just because of what I do, I'm always trying to rig things for people's unique styles and their unique needs and stuff like that. So I think to myself, when I think breakfast, lunch, and dinner, I think, okay, well, what is the spectrum of people for breakfast, right? So for breakfast, it's anything from like a juice or a smoothie, someone that wakes up and is not hungry. That person is not me, right? But, you know, there's also like chia seed pudding or all the way to like the veggie tofu scramble, right? Which is something for someone who maybe like tends to wake up and crave like a hearty something in the morning. So I tried to think of a full spectrum. So wherever you're at, there would be something.
That's great. That's great.
Now, I'm always nervous about protein and getting enough protein. So what in these would you consider to be protein-based?
Oh, I mean, they all have a ton of protein. So the thing that people don't realize is that actually leafy greens and broccoli have a ton of protein, as well as
a complete protein?
Yeah.
With all the essential
amino acids?
Well, there's
a lot of quinoa. The thing is, if you're vegan, the only complete protein is quinoa.
Really?
Right? Quinoa.
Quinoa is a complete protein.
Quinoa is a complete protein. So if that's something you're concerned with, and I personally believe that, like, America is just way too over-protein hyped. We don't need as much protein as people think we do. I think it's one thing if you're like a bodybuilding guy, then you should totally be, you can be conscious of that. And there's great hemp-based proteins and stuff that you can add to your smoothies to amp that up. But in general, if you're eating enough leafy green vegetables, and all of the recipes either have beans or they have chia seeds in them or quinoa, like there's, all of them have protein in them. There's not like a single thing with nothing. Even the sweets have quinoa flour. So they're practically protein cupcakes.
I had no idea that quinoa was a complete protein.
Yeah, so quinoa is your BFF if you're...
There you go.
Of course, Remy hates that one. Go figure, my son.
He hates quinoa?
He hates quinoa.
You can disguise quinoa in a lot of ways.
Oh, really? Tell me.
I blitz quinoa in the food processor, and you can like make it into like a pizza crust.
Ooh.
You can, like you said, the quinoa is in the cupcakes. You can put quinoa and pancakes, same thing. You can make really yummy.
That's a good idea. Okay. Because I love it. But yeah, we're going to hide that puppy.
So I always thought of quinoa more as a carbohydrate.
Yeah.
And is it true that rice and beans together create a complete protein?
Yeah, I've heard that. I'm not personally a big like food combination
person.
That's like just not my
thing.
For me, I just feel like it's, I'm not someone that believes in counting calories.
Yeah.
I don't count like protein grams. I don't do any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm really big into just intuitively eating, listening to your body. I don't believe that there is some like doctor administration somewhere that can give you like the exact number for you or for you or for me, because all of us have different lifestyles, different stressors, different ancestry, different seasons of our lives. So we're going to need different things depending on the day.
Yes. I love the intuitive eating model. Can you describe that for our listeners?
Yeah. So it's really developing a relationship with your body again. Mm-hmm. So I think the first thing I always tell people to do is to kind of rehash that relationship, get back into it. So many of us divorce ourselves from it, and we just like treat our body as like this thing that we have to manage and deal with, instead of realizing it's like our most intimate relationship. It's your longest relationship here on earth. It's just you and your body. And so we might as well love it regardless of what's going on. And even whatever it is going on for you and your body, it's doing like a billion miraculous things for you every day, right? Just the fact that you wake up every morning and you're breathing and you made it through the night and your body did, like, was cleaning your cells and doing all these great processes, healing you through the night. It's amazing. So I recommend people starting off with a body gratitude meditation to just get back into that space of being.
Can we do it?
Sure.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Okay, all right. Everybody, get comfortable. If you are driving, do not practice this
don't
in
do
the car.
This if you're driving. All right, so close your eyes and just accept if you're driving. And start taking some nice deep breaths in your nose, out your mouth. And just centering into your breath, releasing any thoughts that might be passing by, just allowing them to float on by like clouds. Bringing yourself back to your breath. Just taking a moment. Allowing any stress or tension to just float away on each exhale. Feeling your body relax more and more, your forehead soften, your shoulders melt down, and just taking a moment to tune in to the gratitude and reverence you have for your breath that has been with you since your first moment in this world. In that morning when your mother delivered you and will be with you till your very last day. Your breath that has the amazing ability to calm you down during difficult situations. This beautiful tool that's accessible to you at all times whenever you need to change your state. That keeps going even when you're not paying attention to it, when you're sleeping. And just allow your breath to go a little bit deeper as you feel that gratitude all over your body. And then tuning into your heartbeat now. And just taking a moment as you breathe to be with your heartbeat, your own beautiful divine rhythm with you even longer than your breath. With you since you were still inside your mother's womb, the first sign of life, perhaps, that your parents tuned into, beating for you day in and day out, getting blood to every area of your body, working endlessly, just showering it with love and gratitude right now. Tuning in now to your skeletal structure, your muscles, this beautiful framework that holds you together, that protects you, that supports you, that allows you to move through your day, allows you to hug a loved one, pick up groceries, go hiking, all the beautiful things that are held in place that allow you to do all of the things you love thanks to your muscles and your skeleton. And just breathe in lots of love and gratitude for them. And just tuning into the gratitude you have for the whole series of systems that work together on a moment-to-moment, day-to-day basis to keep you alive and functioning. All the different processes at work in your body at any given time, helping you see, helping you hear, helping you taste, helping you digest food, helping you fight off colds, helping you heal a scrape. Just taking a nice deep breath and gratitude for all of that. And taking one final deep breath and holding it in, just allowing gratitude and love to fill your whole body, every single cell. And exhale. And you can slowly move your fingers and toes a little bit and wake up your nervous system and come back into the room.
Mm. Beautiful. Beautiful. So nice.
I kept thinking of juicy oranges.
Ooh, I like it.
That's really funny.
It was so interesting.
Really?
Like this juicy, bright, like maybe it was more like a tangerine. It was just in my mind's eye. It just
interesting.
Kept
your assignment is you need to eat that today.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's your body's craving that. So
yeah,
interesting.
Like that was like a pure body.
Oh God.
Your body is so excited to talk to you.
Yeah.
Like it's so excited to talk to you. The second that you honestly, willingly are like, oh, I'm going to tune in.
Yeah.
Like I remember there are some times when I'll tune in and my body will be like, no potatoes.
Really?
And I'm like, really? What?
Yeah.
Like it's so obvious. Like that. Like it really can be that obvious. Where it's like, oh, I'm keep on thinking about oranges. It's so random. Okay, go eat an orange.
Yeah.
Right? Your body's trying to tell you something. And it doesn't, it's very basic in the best way.
Yeah.
You know, like it doesn't try to like
confuse
you.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, well,
exactly.
Also brings me to thinking how much our culture fucks up our relationship to our bodies.
My God.
You know,
beyond.
Eat everything that's off your plate.
Yes.
Don't waste food.
Yes.
Somebody else is starving. Somebody else is dying. You have to eat that before you get dessert. And we never.
Oh, and even just trying to make you feel like you don't know what's good for your body.
Right.
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 Like, oh, like someone, I don't want to name any names, but like some expert in some, you know, magazine knows better than you do that you should have like a low fat yogurt parfait for breakfast every day. You know, and it just kind of makes it, the culture breeds you thinking that everybody but you knows better than you
right?
Yeah,
how to eat or how to exercise or, you know.
Yes, right.
When, I mean, it's great. And, you know, there are a lot of experts and they have, you know, great studies and different things. But I think, you know, that is, it's dangerous when you when you don't take any of that power on yourself.
Yes.
When you don't say, it's like, for, you know, there could be the same chocolate protein smoothie or whatever, and we could all have the same thing, right? And I could drink it and get, like, terribly bloated. Indigestion or whatever. You could drink it and feel like a rock star, and, like, you could drink it and, like, think it was gross.
Right.
Right. And so, and it doesn't matter. Like, it could textbook be a great smoothie.
Right.
But, like, I think that's one of the things that really gets on me about so much of the diet culture and the weight loss culture, and even all of the different, like, paleo, vegan, South Beach, all these, like, different names of things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, can we just tune in and just start listening? And I think when you start listening, then you find what actually works for your body.
Right.
Right. And we're so conditioned, too, to the breakfast, lunch, and dinner model, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And two snacks. It's like sometimes I make those 6 or 7 hours and not be hungry, and then I can be 20 minutes later after eating be hungry.
Right. It just depends.
Right.
Yeah.
And honoring sometimes, you know, that's been an interesting thing that's come up for me, too. It's when you actually honor that and you check in with yourself, I'm like, am I hungry today? Mm-hmm. I've noticed that sometimes when my body, so when your body is digesting food, it's obviously allocating a lot of energy to digestion.
Yeah.
So sometimes if I'm like fighting off a cold, or, you know, my body's like trying to heal something, I'm not going to be hungry for a longer period of time.
True.
Because your body is like, hey, I need that energy.
Right yeah,
now.
That
like,
makes
let
sense.
Just, like,
let me do what I need to do.
Let me do what I need to do. And then, like, let's not, like, distract me with digesting at the moment.
Yeah.
Right? But it's so true. We're so culturally programmed that, like, this is, you know, I can't even tell you how many people have told me to have 5 meals a day.
Oh.
And I was like, let me tell you that that would be a nightmare for me.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some people that that's a total dream for.
Yes. Yes.
But it's, you know, it's definitely, it's not one size fits all.
I love, love what you're speaking about, because so I'm open with this, but I had an eating disorder and my therapist at the time recommended intuitive eating. And I walked in there and I was like, I don't need a nutritionist. I know exactly how many calories are in, you know, because I was in like this anorexic mind. And she really taught me to trust that instinct of what I feel like and, you know, to really think about if I'm hungry and if I'm not and, you know, and just all of that. Because I think that, it's so cultural. We see these messages and.
So the one time, though, there was a person in eating disorders room who's basically said that when you have a really severe anorexic, though, you can't practice the intuitive eating model initially because they're so disconnected from the internal cues. They'll just go, well, I'm never hungry, and they're not. They don't
right.
feel hungry.
That's a good point.
You know? So there's, I think there's an interim step with that, but ideally we start out with the intuitive eating model
that's
and we never
why,
have to get screwed up.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I feel like the first step has to be the body gratitude, right? The first step has to be getting into that loving relationship with your body so that your thoughts can be aligned.
Makes
with,
sense.
Right.
The intuitive eating works if your intention is to genuinely take care of yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The, you know, it's like, it's almost like you rig. I had an eating disorder as well when I was younger. And it's almost like when you're in that mind state, you're kind of jumbling the messages, right?
Yes,
because
sure.
you want to hear certain things.
Of course.
And there's a certain level of, whatever I say, quote unquote, disease in your thoughts.
Yeah.
For sure. For sure. Now, you have a little food hound on you.
Oh, my God.
Right?
My second one. Not the vegan. The other one. I've never seen a foodie like this.
Aww.
I mean, he's 5. And ever since he was little, like, he literally will, I'll be like, yeah, so what do you remember about Legoland? He'll be like, okay, so we had popcorn. Like, no, none of the rides. Like, anything. Literally, the other day, we were talking about a friend of mine. He has a little girlfriend. She's so cute. We went to lunch.
Oh, my God.
And he said, remember the last time we saw Stella? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, we had lollipops. We had everything revolves around food.
God,
so yeah,
so
you two would get along quite well, like with the foodie. I think he could be a chef.
What about, though, can you speak to, you know, I had an eating disorder also, emotional eating, when people learn to use food to soothe themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Very hard also to tell them that that's not a healthy way to.
Yeah. I think it's actually amazing now how many people are becoming more and more aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's become a little bit more open.
Yeah.
Because we all do it to different extents.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the exercises that I generally...
It's Kelly and chocolate, just so you know.
Oh, yes. I'm obsessed with dark chocolate.
Dark,
we'll talk about
dark
that.
Chocolate. Every time I go somewhere... Are we getting a call?
No. I just wanted to see how we're doing sound-wise.
Okay.
But we're good. Yeah.
Every time it's some... weird location that they have some obscure dark chocolate bar.
She buys
it
for me.
Buy
so
it
sweet.
Yeah.
85% or above is like my.
Well, at least you're eating super anti-acid.
Exactly. Exactly. But I just love that chocolate. But anyway.
Well,
so
one of the exercises I tell people to do if they start working with me for this kind of stuff
yeah.
is do a food mood journal. So I think what happens is there's emotional eating and then there's what I call autopilot eating.
Yes.
And they're kind of similar sometimes. Mm-hmm. And because a lot of times we have autopilot emotional eating tendencies where I have them write down everything that they're eating for 2 weeks, what they're eating, mm-hmm. as well as, you know, how they're feeling when they eat it. And how they feel after they eat it.
That's smart to see.
So yeah. You start not only seeing like, oh, wow, when I have like bagels in the morning, I'm ADDing at work and I can't focus and I'm falling asleep. Mm-hmm. But you also start realizing, wow, like whenever my boss stresses me out, I go to that cafe and get a cupcake and a latte. You know, and you're like, oh, okay. Or, wow, that guy canceled our date, so I ended up going to get ice cream.
Yeah.
Or I ordered a pizza.
Sure.
You know? And so you start noticing what I always say, like, what are you trying to not feel?
Yeah.
And so when you start realizing what you're trying to not feel, because we all have like different things. With sweets, it's usually, I always say, if you're craving sweets, you're not being sweet enough to yourself. Right?
We're
craving like love and nourishment. And so a great substitute for that can sometimes be taking a bath.
Yeah.
Like, you know, doing some sort of self-care thing.
Loving.
Like getting a mani-pedi or meeting up with a girlfriend and having tea.
Uh-huh.
Like, talking about what's going on. And, you know, one of the exercises, if you feel like you are a emotional eater to a point where it's really not working for you anymore, and is to just for a couple weeks commit as an experiment. Commit to having 3 meals a day.
Okay.
3 meals a day, hearty meals, meals that you're not going to be starving. It's not a diet. It's really just to clean it up, right?
Yeah.
So you have 3 meals a day, your breakfast, lunch, and dinner, whatever you want to commit to.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not allowed to have any snacks or dessert or whatever. Or you can, if you want to have a dessert, then you have to like plan the dessert.
Like every
I'm always going to have that small piece of dark chocolate or whatever, you know? You plan it. And so what
you
happened?
You got to give up the closet, Kelly.
I know. Pretty much. Exactly. I love your laugh. Yeah.
But what happens, and I've done this myself.
Yeah.
I did for a while. When you do this, is you start noticing when you get really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden, you have to feel your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it like, sometimes it can be little things. One of the things I noticed when I did it was that, you know, after a really stressful day of like a bunch of meetings and stuff like that, I would just always walk to this vegan cafe in New York called Peace Food, and I would get their Brazilian chai latte and a vegan chocolate chip cookie. And that was me just not wanting to feel how like stressed I was. Right? And so when I took that away, I just had to sit
with it.
With how overwhelmed I was or whatever that feeling was. And same thing when a lot of people, when you're craving like salty foods.
Yeah. What's that mean?
It means you want more like spice or variety in your life. You want more fun in your life.
That's interesting.
So then it's like, okay, actually, instead of doing that, maybe you should like call up a girlfriend and like go dancing or like, I don't know, do something that you find fun.
Sure.
And so I think sometimes we have to actually pull ourselves out of it to really start feeling the emotions, because most of us, a lot of us, don't even realize how many like feelings
emotions
we're actually
covering up with
food. It's like everybody's favorite drug.
If you're just tuning in, we are talking with Cassandra Bodzak, and she is the author of Eat with Intention. So interesting. I love that. Now
as adorable as her book is beautiful.
Yes, it's true.
Thank you.
Spunky and energy.
Yes, exactly. Well, it's funny because when you think of like spiritual, like, you know, people, like I always think of like relaxed and like zen and like, and I love that. Like she's got some, you know, she's got some spice.
But you go both ways, right? I mean,
you
could be very, probably because that meditation you did, very, I meditated for the first time this week.
My God, that's amazing.
Congrats.
That's great.
Awesome.
Isn't it great?
Awesome.
By yourself or like a guided meditation? That's amazing.
Heart expansion.
Good for you.
Medication. It was medication, right? Meditation.
Meditation is medication.
Medication.
That's amazing. Wow. Good for you.
Yeah, I did. And I'm going to learn more. I have a session where I'm going to learn more about meditation.
Like a teacher.
Yes.
Very good. Yeah. Good for you. Taking care of yourself.
Yeah, I know. Is that crazy? I love it. But this book, I swear, it's just, it's so beautiful. Every picture in there. And your pictures also of you.
Thanks.
So lovely. Yeah. You had so much fun writing this book.
It was a lot of work.
I love the honesty.
I stand corrected.
Yeah.
Did you take the pictures?
No. So those photos are by Evie Abler, who's mm-hmm. a beautiful food photographer. And then some of the photos by me are by a different photographer. But yeah, it was beautiful. I channeled a lot of the, because for those of you who aren't familiar with the book, every mm-hmm. recipe has a corresponding meditation and a little like blurb. So I kind of made the back of the book like an oracle deck. So if you're feeling like you need some guidance or you're not sure like what you need, the book is a bunch of different prescriptions if you look at the back. Mm-hmm. And so like I think there's, you know, the thing I just mentioned with the chocolate. There's a chocolate cupcake recipe and, you know, it's something like be sweet to yourself and a self-love meditation. And they all have a little blurb about that as well. And that was a big part of that was really important for me because for me, it's not just about the food. It's mm-hmm. really about the energy and the intention. It's about your relationship with your body. It's tuning into your body's wisdom.
I love that you say balance is bullshit.
I saw that. I love that. I saw that.
Yeah. I just feel like I hate that there's this culture that I feel like everybody perpetuates this like myth of balance, right? That there's mm-hmm. some sort of like perfect balance that anyone's ever just going to get it like exactly right. And I think when we just surrender that, like I prefer to think of like seasons, right? Mm-hmm. You're in different seasons of your life at different times. So, you know, there are some times, you know, when people will look at my life, like I just got back from like 2.5 weeks of traveling, like my schedule is pretty back to back, where they're like, oh my God, like how do you find balance, you know? And like the truth is sometimes you just can't.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just do the best you can. And sometimes you're in, I like to call it right now, I'm in a summer, mm-hmm. right? Like yeah. I'm in a summer season, things are busy. Mm-hmm. And it's great because when I was in my winter and things were slower, I really enjoyed myself. Like I really rested, mm-hmm. I really took care of myself. And I still do, obviously.
Sure.
I meditate every day, I work out, I eat healthy, I do all the things, right? Right. But I think the why I said balance is bullshit is because I think so many of us put too much pressure on ourselves,
yeah.
right? And the truth is that I think a lot of the, especially when you, if you think about it around food,
mm-hmm.
it's like, you know, whatever, it's your girlfriend's birthday or I don't know, you're on your period and mm-hmm. you end up getting into the brownies and mm-hmm. then you're like, oh my God, I want to go eat pizza at this place or whatever mm-hmm. happens, right? It's, you know, if we just kind of, we forgive ourselves, mm-hmm. allow ourselves to be human and normal, and then just like get back on track and do what sure. feels good for us. I think it's better than trying to, it's funny because I saw recently, well, maybe like a year or so ago, a lot of wellness bloggers we're kind of going back and forth, right? Mm-hmm. Where it'd be like so extreme one way where it's like all like juice cleanses and yeah. nothing, right?
Uh-huh.
And then it's like, on the other hand, it's like donuts and cheeseburgers, hashtag balance. And I'm like, yeah, not really.
Uh-huh.
You know? And it's kind of like, for me, I feel like if you don't put like, for me, I wouldn't put like a donut, quote unquote, off limit. Right?
Sure.
So there's no like charge around a donut, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. That part of how I gave up my eating disorder was really throwing out the category of good and bad foods.
Yep.
Because
yes.
that makes the bad foods the ones we covet
of
all the
course.
Time, right? And then you're
yeah.
thinking about it all
yes.
the time. So actually mm-hmm. for almost about 3 years, every day I stopped at a donut shop.
That's great.
And I definitely like frosting.
Oh, that's
and
right.
I would buy the donut. Uh-huh. I would eat the frosting. Uh-huh. I'd have breakfast of some sort,
yeah,
but it was
sure.
like, I'm just going to make this just part of the daily mm-hmm. thing. And then it's like, now I can drive by any donut store. It's like, it'll be there tomorrow if I want one. I don't
right?
feel like
yeah.
it right now. You know, it's like, took all the power.
It's amazing.
It's funny that you said donuts, because that was one of the
that's
ones.
That's so
like,
funny. That's your
such a bad food.
Yeah.
No.
Right?
Yeah. It tastes great. How can you call something, right?
Yeah. Right. And it's true. It's and there is something about it when you know. Mm-hmm. And like people, this drives people crazy when I say this sometimes, mm-hmm. but I literally say, if the day comes where I wake up and I'm like, oh my God, I really need a bacon cheeseburger, mm-hmm. I'm not going to make myself a bad human for it.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think because of that, that I don't.
Right, ever exactly.
Want to, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But it also doesn't feel like I'm punishing myself.
Right.
Right. Right? And I feel like you've all, like, even mm-hmm. with carbs and stuff like that. For me, in my normal day life, I have, like, quinoa and, like, rice and stuff right. like that. But I don't need a ton of bread, like, mm-hmm. Muffins or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And I was just in Europe.
Yeah.
Right?
I of course.
Bread every day.
Exactly.
Every day.
Croissants.
And you know what? It was fine. And then, you know, actually, this was a beautiful example of kind of this, where I went to south of France, and literally at every meal they serve bread with everything.
Oh,
and
yeah.
like breakfast is uh-huh. like pretty much just bread and coffee.
Yeah.
And then I was in Barcelona, and same thing, mm-hmm. croissants, pastries, all this stuff. And I was really just like, oh, I don't know, trying everything. And by the time I got to Barcelona, a couple of days in, I was not feeling well. And I just tuned into my body, and it's mm-hmm. like, body is not happy with the amount of like lattes and bread I've had. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay. And it was just like, it wasn't a thing. Right? It was just like, I noticed yep. it. And mm-hmm. so I shifted. The next morning, I like went and got some green juice, had tea all day.
Oh, that's
and like
good.
Kind of just like mm-hmm. cleansed myself, went yeah. to the sauna, made some healthier choices. And I was like, okay. And it wasn't from a place of, you've been bad, now you have to be good.
Right, exactly.
It yeah. was literally just responding to how mm-hmm. my body was feeling and shifting.
Yes.
And I think that's why there's a little section in there that's called Forget Labels and Just Listen. That's why mm-hmm. I hate labels.
Yeah.
It's like to create a label is automatically put things off limits,
yes.
right? And then you put things off limits and, you know, the first thing, if I'm like, you can never have chocolate again.
Right.
You're going to lose your mind.
I would lose
over
my mind.
You put yourself on that restriction
I
once.
Did. Well, not me, like my doctor. Yes, my doctor said, I took some blood tests or something, and she's like, I mean, she's like a holistic doctor, but she's like, oh, are you having a lot of dark chocolate? I don't know how she knew. I was like, oh, you found me out. She's like, well, just, you know, do you think you cannot eat it for like 3 months? I'm like, yeah, I'll be fine. 2 weeks in, I'm like, Deborah, I'm dying. So yeah, that didn't
like
last long.
You say that and
yes.
all of a sudden,
forget
all,
it.
Yeah.
Well, that's how, like, initially when I would go to school, my mom would make these glorious meals for lunch, you know, from leftovers of all the stuff that she would have cooked. And I was never allowed to have any packaged junk food. So I would literally take my lunch, and when I would trade to all my friends who had the Oreos, the Ding Dongs, the Twinkies, etc., and I would have like one little napkin that had about 10 different little wow. treats so that I could eat them then, because I wanted to hoard them, because I knew it would be, you know.
Well, it's so funny because mine was the opposite.
Yeah.
Mine was the opposite. My mom would throw
junk everywhere.
Yes,
so
fruit roll-ups.
Perfect, right?
Yes, we could have been good partners. Exactly. I would trade my like fruit roll-up and crap for apple and like yeah. healthy food.
I was the same way. I was
so
the same
funny.
Way. And sometimes I think about that too. Like, I've had people ask me, and I'm curious
yeah.
About your kids, how you
uh-huh.
do this, but people ask me, if you ever had kids, like,
uh-huh.
what would you do? And I'm like, I can't see myself not being that mom that like makes the organic baby food.
Right.
I'm
right.
a little too like to uh-huh. not do it. But at the same time, I really do think that it was because nothing was off limits to me as a child.
Right.
I started I did mm-hmm. have friends. You know, my house was also the house where like people would come over, because my mom would always have like grilled cheese and homemade chocolate chip cookies waiting after school. And my friends would be like, oh my God. Right?
Yeah.
And they would just like eat it like little like monsters.
Yeah.
And for me, it was like, this is every day. So whatever.
Right. Of you course.
Know?
Well, we have to wrap up because, and you were so wonderful.
Aww.
So is there anything
lovely.
Else that you want to say, kind of, you know, that you didn't get to talk about or really quickly?
I guess just in closing, I think, you know, the conversation starts with, you know, feeling grateful for our body. It starts with making that adjustment. And the first thing I think that happens is you wanting to nourish yourself and
mm-hmm.
and eat better and listen to your body around that. And then really listening to your body's wisdom. It bleeds into every single area of your life.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just, you know, I feel like Eat With Intention is a foundational guide for you connecting back
mm-hmm.
with that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it starts with feeling better and having that energy. But then it moves into you making better decisions in every area of your life. You being able
sense.
To listen to your body's
sure.
intuition
mm-hmm.
when it comes to dating or your career or
yes.
travel or whatever happens,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Beautiful.
Where can everybody get the book?
You can get the book at any Barnes & Noble or on Amazon, probably any of your local bookstores.
And thank this you. Is a book you want to just have out, sitting
it's,
out.
It's so gorgeous.
It's
really
yeah, it is. I love seeing pictures of coffee table. It's
yes,
coffee
exactly.
Table
see, yeah.
So Cassandra Bocek, amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. And
next week we have Money Manifestations and miracles.
Yeah, that's a great topic.
Ooh,
should be really cool.
Yeah.
Goody, goody. Okay.
So follow us on Instagram, Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly. Also on Facebook, the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show. Thank you so much, and see you guys next week.
Bye-bye.